The title of the message today is Fellow Helpers to the Truth, and it comes from the book of 3 John, verse 8. And last week, for those of you who were here, you'll remember that I preached about our reigniting, if you will, our vision of church planting. And we used Acts 16. Verses 9 through 11, in particular, the Macedonian call as our text. And Brother Rich read that again today, as well as prior to that, reading about Timothy and how he, Silas, and Timothy started the second missionary journey of Paul. Last week, we saw the importance of being obedient to the Great Commission and going and making disciples through evangelism. We talked about Great Commission living, and we talked about being involved not only in evangelism, but being involved in the edification of the believer or the discipleship of the believer, helping the believer to grow in their newfound faith. We talked about planting churches, and we said how this is still God's plan for planet Earth. Even though, sadly, churches are closing at an alarming rate, and as you'll know from our Wednesday night study, some of those churches closing is a good thing, okay? But when evangelical churches close, that's not a good thing. But we have the promise of the Lord, that I will build my church, the Lord being the I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we're thankful for that. But today, I would like to preach about the phrase from 3 John, which says that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Being involved in something new is and should be exciting, correct? Something new comes around and you know, you're excited about it. It should be exciting. When we think about the church and when we think about new life in Christ and when we think about Great Commission living, isn't it wonderful and exciting to see people saved, baptized, added to the church, being discipled, growing, and then seeing them get involved in ministry, seeing new churches planted and ministries starting is exciting, and it ought to excite us. And every time a new ministry starts for the glory of God, we should be excited about that. You know, we live in a world, sadly, where new things aren't starting. And you've heard me say this before, you know I ain't from around here. Okay, and I was really reminded of that when we were up in Coos County, north of the Notch, and when we would talk right away, it gave us away. And we heard that phrase more than any up there. Ain't from around here, ah, yeah, no. And you'll remember when we left, I was pastoring in New York at the time from New Jersey, when we left. My pastor friends down there said that coming to New England, we would be entering the graveyard for pastors. Well, ain't dead yet. So, and I'm thanking the Lord for that, okay? It's only praise goes to Him because it's nothing I've done. We here have just sought to take the Lord at His word and believe God that He still can, and I believe that He still can. And so seeing someone saved and growing and producing fruit and seeing churches planted and growing and producing fruit is exciting, and it should excite us. Sometimes we get into doldrums, you know. We're just coming out of a long winter, and today's a beautiful day, but spring has been struggling to get started here in New Hampshire this year. We got to shake off the dust from winter, and we have to get out there, and we have to once again be involved in our work for the Lord. But just like every other ministry, church planting in particular this morning, just like every other ministry, church planting requires prayer, it requires planning, it requires finances, and it requires people. Okay, people. And as we look to the book of Acts, as we always have, we look to the book of Acts as our church planting and ministry manual, we will see that Paul always traveled with a team. Always traveled with a team. And these teams always changed as time goes on, because he sent folks ahead sometimes to chart new areas, or sometimes he left folks behind in churches that were planted. We'll see that in a moment. It's the same today, friends. Ministry requires people. And sometimes those people need to be sent ahead. Sometimes they need to be left behind. I think it's wonderful that Brother Keith started a new Sunday school series today on the church, loving your church. And today we talked about belonging to that church. But I think it's the last one he mentioned, the sending part, you know, ministry, serving and sending. And these are exciting days. Before I came here, just a little bit before I came here, you had a commissioning and ascending service for the Kirby's to go to South Africa. I'm sure that was a mixed emotion day, right? Excitement because, you know, missionaries are entering the field. Sadness because those missionaries came from here. And we're going to miss them, okay? But again, it's the same today. Ministry requires people, and sometimes these people need to be sent ahead or left behind. And this at times can be difficult. But we must remember that we are, what does our text say? That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Who's involved in the ministry, folks? All of us. Okay? I'm not the, because I'm called the minister, we're not the only ones who should be doing ministry. We're all in the work of the ministry. We all have different things to do in the ministry. But I would like to, if you're following along in your notes there, realize that the ministry takes, point number one, fellow helpers. Fellow helpers. Ministry is not meant to be done alone. What do I often say about that? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, okay? So even though he was the Lone Ranger, he still had Tonto and Silver, Scout, he had help. And so we are fellow helpers in this ministry. Not only the ministry here at Hill Village Bible Church, but also the ministry of Winnisquam Bible Church. Ministry is not meant to be done alone. We are working, number one, first off, we are working together with the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry, you're God's building. So in this great work of the Lord, and when we think of, in particular, planting churches, seeing new work start, we're in this ministry with God. What did the Lord Jesus tell his disciples? "I will build my church." That is God's plan until he comes for us. Seeing people saved, baptized, and added to the church. That's the book of Acts, right? And that's what's been repeated for now some 2,000 years. And we are helpers together in this. Helpers together. We're helping the Lord in this work. But also, we're helping each other. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 23, 2 Corinthians 8, 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So here there's some unnamed people mentioned, but Titus is also mentioned. And he's mentioned as a fellow laborer. He's mentioned as Paul's partner. Partner in ministry. We'll see him again in a moment. But when we think of being a fellow helper, I want to ask you, are you helping? Are you helping in the work of the ministry? Are you praying? All of us can pray. All of us should be praying. Are you praying? You're praying for souls? Are you praying for other people's evangelistic endeavors? Are you concerned about souls of family and friends that you know that we don't know? Are you praying? Are you giving toward this? Are you actively involved in telling people about the Lord? Handing out tracts. One thing I love about the Wednesday night service is when we have our gospel encounters and we get to hear what the Lord is doing in your lives through evangelism during the week. And I realize that comes and goes, but it's exciting when we hear of a week where the Lord just opened people's heart to receive gospel tracts and things like that. What do I always say? If you ain't fishing, you ain't catching, right? We went out fishing this past Monday on our church fishing trip. For once, it was a beautiful day. The water was calm, and there was some time that you're out there, and we were catching other people's lines, but we also caught fish, you know, and if you don't have your bait in the water, you're not going to catch any fish. If you don't tell people about the Lord, you know, how can you be obedient to what the Lord says, making us fishers of men? We need to be obedient to that. Are you helping? Fellow helpers. Point number two, kind of goes along with it, but teamwork. Many people are mentioned in Paul's letters to the churches. And many of these folks were part of various church planting teams. Now, did you ever take the time to add up all the people's names that Paul mentions, either in the beginning, in the middle, or mostly at the end of his letters? You ever take the time to do that? Me neither. But, you know, Bible apps are wonderful. And scholars tell us that Paul mentioned 57 people by name. Okay, through his books, 57 people by name. And that's a lot of people to help missionaries. And from Paul's second missionary journey with Silas, Timothy was his regular partner. Let's do a quick survey. Go to Romans 16. And we're going to be progressing from left to right. So Romans 16, verse 21, one of these people that is mentioned all the time. Romans 16, 21. Timotheus, my fellow, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sopater, I'm glad you guys have normal names like Rich and Bill. My kinsmen salute you. So here, who do we see right off the bat? Timothy. Turn a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians. After Romans is 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Who do we see together? Paul and Timothy. Look at Philippians. After 2 Corinthians is Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians chapter 1 again. Verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. One book to the right, Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. 1 Thessalonians. You see a pattern here? Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Same greeting in 2 Thessalonians. Okay. The little book of Philemon, which is after Timothy's two books, and Titus. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy. One more, Hebrews 13:23. My personal opinion is Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. If you disagree with that, we can debate that at a later date. But Hebrews 13:23 to the general, 13:23 says, "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you." So, one of the persons that's mentioned in the Bible repeatedly, who was part of Paul's team, is Timothy. Mentioned repeatedly from the second missionary journey on. Why were they such a good team? Why was it that Paul poured his life into Timothy? And why was it that they worked so well together? And why was it that Paul and Timothy, we're going to see here, turn to Philippians chapter 2. They were one in the same, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. You know, being part of a team, it's very important that you're completely like-minded, right? Could you imagine being on a sports team and that team not having the same goal? You know, what's the goal? Immediate goal, win the game, right? And, you know, long-term goal for the season is get into the playoffs, win the playoffs, win the championship, whether it's baseball or football or whatever it may be. Well, you know, we're a team. We're the Lord is of course all of our mutual Savior, and the Holy Spirit is all of our teacher, and we should therefore be like-minded. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says this: "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that, as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." So here Paul had full confidence in Timothy that wherever he sent him, he knew he wouldn't have to worry about anything. And the people who were receiving Timothy, it was just like receiving Paul. Because they were what? Like-minded. They were like-minded. Are you part of a team? I don't want to call the church here, you know, it's not a team, if you will, but when you think of a group of people together working for the same goal, are we part of that team? Or are we trying to work against that, you know, by not participating, you know? I know sometimes people get put on the DL, I realize that, but here, you know, if you're on a disabled list, you can pray. You still can pray. You can encourage. And you can be a great encouragement to other people. And it might be more difficult for some than others, but you know, we need to be in the thick of it, out on the field. Which leads to point number three. Yes, there is. We are to be fellow helpers. We are to be involved in this all together as a team. But sometimes there's sending and leaving. Now, The first ever missionary team was sent from the church in Antioch. Acts chapter 13, turn there. Acts chapter 13. So let's think about this two ways. What's the positive aspect of the church in Antioch? The positive aspect is they sent a missionary team. Okay? What's the negative? Somebody had to leave. That's part of it. Okay? Acts 13, verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So here in Antioch, you have these faithful group of people that are mentioned in verse 1, and they're all ministering to the Lord. And from that group, God picks Saul, who will become Paul, and Barnabas. And he sends them out, and the church sends them. You know, just like every missionary, just like the Kirby's here, the Kirby's were sent from here. There was a time, a long time ago, that Sandy and I, our home church in Robertsville Bible Church in New Jersey, we were sent from there to go and pastor New York, and we spent 14 years pastoring there. And we were sent from that church to New Hampshire to come here in 2010, and you know the story from that point on. But you know, sending and leaving. Sometimes team members are sent ahead. Sometimes they're sent ahead to deliver letters. We see through the book of Acts, they're sent ahead to deliver monies or supplies or to prepare the way. Look at Acts 19, talking about sending ahead. Acts 19, verse 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus or Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So here, Paul sends Timothy and Erastus ahead. 1 Corinthians 4, after Acts is Romans, after Romans is 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. I just want you to see, we got a lot of scripture to look up today, but I want you to see that the sending and the staying, it's the biblical model. 1 Corinthians 4:17, the Bible says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So again, faithful Timothy being sent. Ephesians chapter 6. After 1 and 2 Corinthians is Galatians. After Galatians is Ephesians. And the last chapter of that book, chapter 6, verse 21, 22. "But that ye may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." So again, the sending, delivering letters and whatnot. Colossians 4, we see this. After Philippians is Colossians, chapter 4. Seven to nine. "All my state shall Tychicus," again, we just read of him, "declare unto you, who is beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that I might know your estate and comfort your hearts." And one more, 1 Thessalonians, the next book, chapter 3, verse 2. "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith." So a lot of times, Paul would send people ahead, send them to do the work of the ministry. There's a sending. Some of these trips were permanent. Some of them were not. You know, some of them were temporary trips. But not only is there a sending, sometimes there's a leaving. What do we mean by that? Paul would come, he'd plant a church, and he would leave people there. Look at Acts 17. Paul would leave folks to help these churches get started. Sometimes this leaving was permanent. Sometimes it was not. 17:14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 3, as Paul is writing his letter about church doctrine, Paul says, "For this cause he left him in Ephesus." He tells Titus in chapter 1, verse 5, "For this cause I left thee in Crete." So Paul would often send folks ahead. Paul would often what? Leave folks behind. Some of these moves were temporary. Some were permanent. But friends, you and I need to be willing to be fellow helpers to the truth. Someone has said this. I wanted to find out who is the originator of this quote I'm going to say. It's used in baseball, it's used in football, it's used in Christian circles. But friends, the best ability is availability, right? The best ability is availability. Bob Jones Sr. said something like that. He said the best ability is dependability, okay? But, you know, the best ability is availability. You know, in today's crazy world in which we live in, if you show up for your job, you're miles ahead of everybody. Because there are people who don't show up to work. Just show up. Brother Keith was talking in Sunday school today about the importance of being here. The importance of being here whenever the doors are open. And you know, the best ability is availability. If you want to be involved in the ministry, where should you be? Where ministry is happening. The best ability is availability. And are you available to be a fellow helper to the truth? Possibly to be sent, possibly to stay behind. Now, in closing, I want you to turn to Romans 10. We looked at this verse in closing last week also. Next week is Mother's Day. We'll be bringing a Mother's Day message. The week after that, we're going to have another message on this church planting. Okay. Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So who can be saved? Whosoever. In particular, whosoever what? Calls upon the name of the Lord. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So last week I preached about the reigniting our vision of church planting. And I reminded us of how it's the Lord's will for us to be involved in church planting. And even though right now we are involved in planting Winnesquam Bible Church, we don't want that to be the end. Okay? Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Okay? On May 15th, we're going to be having a special meeting about the Winnesquam Bible Church plant. But I want to bring you up to speed about some new developments and inform you of a few things before that meeting, so you can pray about it and be prepared. I'm a Boy Scout. Well, not anymore. I was a Boy Scout. And our motto is be prepared. I don't know if that still is the Boy Scouts motto. I'm not going to go where my mind is going right now. There are going to be some changes coming. Remember, ministry is often a series of changes. And we're going to be starting a 9 o'clock Sunday school over in Winnesquam and a 10 a.m. morning service over there. When these services start, we have no particular start date yet, but when these services are started, there will be no more evening services there. And to facilitate that morning services at Winnesquam, I will be going ahead as the interim pastor of Winnesquam Bible Church until we find a pastor. And Pastor Andrew will stay behind to continue pastoring here at Hill. And I will be personally asking some of you folks to come with me